Welcome to another episode of The Brand Called You, a video and podcast show that brings you leadership lessons, knowledge, experience, and wisdom from hundreds of successful individuals from around the world. Today, I am privileged to welcome a very, very accomplished entrepreneur and someone who's building an amazing healthcare ecosystem, Taylor McPartland. Taylor, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you. Taylor is the CEO of Scale Health, which is a healthcare innovation ecosystem. He's the chairman of Scale LA Foundation. So Taylor, tell me, what would you say are three key milestones in your life or your career?
Good question. I think the first key milestone was the opportunity to be able to travel. I say that primarily from the standpoint of getting me out of my comfort zone and kind of pushing me to experience new things and pushing me to rely on myself. I think that was a big driving factor for my journey into the entrepreneurial world. The second was certainly founding my first company and really just also again just jumping in to the deep end and learning the entrepreneurial ropes, not knowing a tremendous amount in those early days, but just really enjoying the ride and surrounding myself with good people that were also, good teachers to me. And the third was, an amazing milestone that we've had in, over the past year or so. It's just some phenomenal guests that have come through our offices in Los Angeles. We had the now Vice President Kamala Harris come through our office and talk about her healthcare plan. And I think that was, not only was that an honor, but it was really exciting and validating for the work that we were trying to do in the community that we were trying to build. So
fabulous.
Off the top of my head, those would be the three.
Fabulous, fabulous. So let's now move on and let's talk of Scale Health. Tell me about this venture.
Absolutely. So Scale Health is a health innovation ecosystem. Mm-hmm. We're headquarters that I mentioned in Los Angeles, but we work with many, many hundreds, if not thousands of innovators and entrepreneurs in the healthcare industry. Mm-hmm. We also work with several hundred investment funds, and investors and many strategic partners and relationships, payers, providers, health systems, academics, public, private sector. Mm-hmm. And our goal is to really connect all the dots together at the right time and make sure that the innovators and the entrepreneurs have the tools they need to be able to continue to grow and the access they need to be able to get connected with that right health system or that right academic or that right partner at the right time. And for us, looking at the challenges that we've all gone through as a world, as a planet, over the last year with COVID-19, our goal is to look at how we can better leverage all these relationships and connect all these dots together at the right time. Mm-hmm. So that collectively we're making sure that we're learning from those challenges and we're never putting ourselves in a position to repeat them.
Terrific. And when I was reading about you, your mission is to build global health innovation ecosystem by connecting startups, strategic partners, and communities. Help me understand this and maybe with some examples.
Yeah, sure. So currently we have six later this year, mostly in the US, but we have one location in Asia. We'll be opening at least one in Europe as well. And what we look to try to do is understand in those locations, in those communities, what are the biggest challenges that community faces that might be a unique need that they have that might be able to be complemented by a strength in another ecosystem, another community that we have. And then we want to be able to match those together. So as an example, we're doing work with city governments around how can we do a better job of as a city and as a region, underrepresented populations and uninsured populations. And so we can come in and we can say, okay, well, let's bring to the table with this city government and say, let's look at ways where we can bundle these solutions together and then provide them with the city's endorsement to those residents and those citizens that need that help the most.
Okay.
And that's something that we're looking at replicating.
So are you similar to something like an incubator for startups?
We are. We definitely are. We're similar to an incubator in the sense that we do provide a lot of programming. We provide a lot of coaching and support of our companies. But we're different in the sense that we're not, you know, like an accelerator, for example, we're not a very focused 3-month or 6-month effort. We're working with a startup and we're helping them step by step through their journey. We see ourselves more of as a sidekick for these companies, and we'll work with them. We have companies that have been with us since the very, very beginning of Scale Health. We have companies that are practically still an idea, and we have companies that are going public and are getting acquired.
Wow.
And what we want to do is we want to be able to be that sidekick of theirs through the whole journey, so that if there's ever something that they need, if they want to come to us and say, hey, we're looking for a relationship here, or we wish we knew someone who had this expertise,
mm-hmm.
within the Scale Health network, we can make that connection for them.
Wow. So, you know, you just mentioned that some companies are beginning to move out. If it's not confidential, tell me about some of your stars who made it big.
I'll give you one example. It's a good friend of mine. I like using this case study. Joseph Quinn and Pilates Metrics is a really exciting company of ours, and they were a company that pitched at a summit that we had back in 2019 before COVID.
Mm-hmm.
And Joseph and his team, incredibly good people, hard workers, really trying to revolutionize the Pilates industry.
Mm-hmm.
And we were able to, through the Scale Network, we were able to have a relationship with a company that speaking to them, and they got really excited about what Joseph was doing, and we were able to say, hey, there might be an opportunity here to connect you two together. Okay. And now they're just finalizing an acquisition for his company. And so we're starting to see more and more of those, which is, it's exciting, and it's really just it's an honor to be able to be a part of those conversations.
I agree. And I love your comment, you like to be a sidekick. I mean, I've never heard anyone say so modestly, if I can use the word. Okay. So, Dilla, let's now move on and talk a little bit about startups. You know, you must have worked with many, many startups, and I've spoken to many startup entrepreneurs. My first question, and I'm often asked this question, is that what is the advantage in a startup to go solo versus a co-founder?
That's a great question. The entrepreneurial journey is just so amazingly taxing and so challenging, physically, emotionally, spiritually, that it's the first thing you think about in the morning. It's the last thing you're thinking about at night.
Correct.
And I think, you know, as much as it is helpful to have that co-founder to bounce ideas off of when you're in a good groove and you're brainstorming, I think it's just as important to have that person that can be there for you, either going through the same thing or can lift you up when you're down, or you can lift them up when you're down,
mm-hmm.
Or when you're up and they're down. I think you need that. Otherwise, it's very hard not to just totally burn out.
Amazing. And based on all the experience of your having, you know, been the sidekick to so many startups, what, in your opinion, are some of the basic mistakes a lot of startup entrepreneurs make?
I think the one challenge that a lot of entrepreneurs have is, and I would put myself in this category as well,
mm-hmm.
is almost falling into the myth of, I have such a clear sense of what the market needs and what the market wants that I'm going to do this almost in the face of data and feedback, to a bullheadedness to a certain extent. And I think there's a balance there. You need to be able to step back and say, okay, as much as I love this idea, the market is clearly wanting me to go this direction. And if I want to be able to, achieve my vision at all, I need to be able to respond to that. So I can ring the cash register at the end of the day. Otherwise you can quickly burn out and quickly flame out and and not go anywhere.
True. And you know, I've had this, I mean, I've had the same problem in my entrepreneurial journey where you just believe, you know, what the customer wants.
Yeah, absolutely. So absolutely. I think there's that. And I think there's also the element of a little bit of, and I've experienced this, a little bit of trepidation that you don't want to be, or I should say, like, I don't want to be proven wrong. You know, I don't want to go out and ask too many people in the market if this is the right idea, because I love this idea so much that I don't want to hear anything else that's going to make me start to doubt that. And that's something I think entrepreneurs just need to push through.
Absolutely right. Absolutely. So my next question to you is that, you know, when I raised private equity for my pharmacy chain, there was constant pressure on how soon could I go pan India. And, you know, India is big with 1.3 billion people. My question to you is, at what stage should a startup start to scale up?
Another thing that I struggle with myself. And then I think it's a hard question because it's a little bit different for every startup. I think it depends a lot, like you were talking about private equity. It depends a lot on how much a startup has raised, kind of what the metrics are, what the KPIs are that they're really trying to strive for. But I think from where I'm sitting, the simplest answer is scaling when you know that you're not going to run the risk of losing everything. You know, not scaling too quickly to where if you need to take a step back, it won't affect the brand. It won't affect your brand. It won't affect your ability to continue to go out and raise capital. It won't cause you to lay off, you know, employees or retreat. Kind of going into it eyes open and say, okay, we can take this risk, but because we know if it doesn't work, we'll be okay. Versus, you know, needing to scale as quickly as possible because it's just a mad dash to try to stay afloat, and it's like
interesting.
Yeah.
And you know, you have handheld so many startups, so many entrepreneurs. One of the big problems that most startups face is when to raise money and how to raise money. What are your thoughts on, number one, when should I raise money as a startup entrepreneur? And number two, how should I raise it?
One of the best pieces of advice that I got when I was struggling to try to raise capital was the simple phrase to ring the cash register and just to start generating revenue. And that did two things for me that I would highly recommend for other entrepreneurs. One was just the dollars and cents aspect of it, that if I'm generating revenue, I'm closer to a product market fit. I'm closer to, you know, a better evaluation, and suddenly the tides have turned a little bit to where I'm not begging for meetings. I'm coming to the table with something that clearly, like we were talking about before, around the market, clearly a certain segment of the market is interested in this. And then there's also the psychological element of just being a little bit more in charge of your own destiny. You're not raising capital to stay afloat and relying on other people to help you achieve your vision. Now you as the entrepreneur have more ownership in what your company looks like. If you can continue to sell and you can continue to drive revenue, you're in control of your own destiny. And then raising capital, whether that be venture capital or if you're going the grants route or whatnot, suddenly becomes more rocket fuel to the fire that you've already created versus a lifeline.
Correct. And my next question on startup before we move to the next segment is, you know, it is often said that 1 or 2 out of 10 startups really make it. I have met many startup founders who didn't make it and who somehow were convinced that there's no life after this to do an entrepreneurship journey. How can we tell startup founders it's okay to fail?
I was having a really good conversation the other day with another entrepreneur friend of mine, and we were talking about this subject, and I think it comes down to the fact that we need to reframe the phrase pivoting. I think it comes with a bad connotation, and pivoting in a lot of cases, you know, an entrepreneur will say, I had to pivot, or something will ask them, oh, are you pivoting? I heard you had to pivot.
Yeah.
It comes with a negative connotation of I have failed to a certain extent. Uh-huh. And from my, and I firmly believe that a pivot is more of a revolution of the wheel. And if you can go around a whole revolution of the wheel, mm-hmm. tweak what you need to tweak, and if you're still surviving and you can go around again, mm-hmm. And continue to do that, you're going to continue to hone in on what your offering is, mm-hmm. that the market really wants, and that's when you're going to really find success. Mm-hmm. And so I think I'd like to separate the concept of failure and pivoting. This is a personal mission of mine. I'd like to separate those two, because I think we should be talking about getting to pivot. And I've been around long enough, an entrepreneur could say, I've been around long enough to where I've gotten to pivot. Like I'm still here. I've gone a revolution around the wheel. I know what I need to change. And now I'm going around again, or I'm going around the third time. Mm-hmm. And I think that'll really free us up as an industry to look at, you know, pivoting or failure in a more positive, constructive way.
Very interesting. So, Tilla, I'm now going to move to a few more questions for you. My first question, and I guess I'll relate it back to the startup system, is that, again, based on your experience, what are some of the important qualities a startup CEO should have?
Emotional intelligence, mm-hmm. I think, is the biggest thing. The team really comes first, and it's so crucial to be able to balance the demands of a team, especially during this time of COVID, where everyone is under so many demands, like personal demands, professional, emotional. It's just such a trying time. Mm-hmm. You need to be very open and aware of that as a CEO, and you need to be able to understand where your team is coming from, how they're doing as people, when you can push on the gas, when you need to take your foot off the gas a little bit, or even push on the brake, and be able to really be, you know, looking out of your peripheral vision of like, one, yes, we're going this direction as a company, and this is the big vision that we have, and I want to spearhead our efforts there, but I want to make sure that our army and our team is all in line with that. And if they're not, we need to take a pause and recalibrate.
Fabulous. My next question is that, you know, this is the age of the millennials and the Gen Zs. Based on all the interaction of so many entrepreneurs, how are the millennials and the Gen Zs changing the startup ecosystem?
I think I make the millennial cut by just barely. I'm an elder millennial.
Oh, so you are a millennial. So perfect.
I think what I'm seeing right now is, and maybe it's also just partially looking at through rose-colored glasses, being in the healthcare industry and working with a lot of entrepreneurs, mm-hmm. And a lot of millennial and Gen Z entrepreneurs who are also in the healthcare space. I'm really excited by how many young entrepreneurs are tackling these really big problems. Mm-hmm. I'm not seeing as much of the flashy, I want to become an entrepreneur, I want to become rich, I want to have, like, you know, drive great cars and whatnot, and I want to be like a, you know, millionaire before I'm 30. It's much more, I want to solve a real problem that I'm seeing in the world that's affecting a lot of people. And that gives me a lot of hope.
Amazing. Okay. So now let's move to the last segment of our conversation. There are some questions for you personally. Taylor, you know, you are building an amazing institution helping so many startups. What are some of the core values you believe in?
Honesty, first off, is is a huge value for me. I look for it in our team. I look for it in myself. Mm-hmm. I really want to know where we stand as a team, where we stand as a community. I want to push us to be good, honest, value-driven people that we ask our members to be. So that's first. And then, another one for me is just hard work. Mm-hmm. it's a really hard industry, and I value our team so much just because we are able to just put in the hard work. We don't believe in titles. We don't believe in, nothing is below any of us. Like we just all jump in as a unit and do what needs to get done. And I love that. And I appreciate that.
Wonderful. And my next question is that, as a senior millennial, who's got so much more to look forward to in life, from where you stand today, what does success mean to Taylor?
I have a one-year-old daughter mm-hmm. now, and I think success for me means being able to spend more time with her, mm-hmm. being able to give her the life that she deserves, mm-hmm. and be able to really enjoy all of the stages of her life mm-hmm. without having to, as I was talking about earlier, the entrepreneurial journey of thinking about work first thing in the morning and last thing at night. I want to be there for her, and I want to be on her journey with her.
How nice. So a follow-up question for that is for you is that who or what inspires you?
Solving really big problems is the what that inspires me. Mm-hmm. I think I take so personally all of the heartache that I see in the world and all of the just the monumentally big challenges that we're faced with every day, whether it's the healthcare system or education or environment or whatnot. I want to be able to do my part to make sure that my daughter and other future generations mm-hmm. just continue to see all of those big challenges improve a little bit, because we've got a long way to go, and I'm inspired by just trying to do my part.
Fantastic. And my last question to you now, come back to startups. What would your advice be, and this is for the thousands of people who will listen to our conversation and listen to all your words of wisdom, what would your advice be to a young startup entrepreneur who is now just getting ready to start off on his or her journey? In the tough and ugly world,
look at it as a career. Mm-hmm. It is a career. Myself included, I think entrepreneurship is seen as almost entrepreneurs going down their journey. Like, really look at it. Okay, here's my one company. Here's my one chance. Mm-hmm. I need to have this be a huge success. There's no after this. It's like, everything I have, my heart and soul and everything is right here in this company. And I think you need to have that mentality as an entrepreneur, but you also need to look at, if you're starting off on your journey, this is a career that you're endeavoring on. And you don't need to start off as a CEO, or you don't need to have your first company that you sell be sold for millions and millions of dollars so you can retire and buy an island. It's important to earn your stripes. Yeah. And like any other career, you start at the bottom or you start in the middle, and you learn as you go, and you earn those stripes to the point where you can have those huge successes later in life. But don't put all your eggs in that one basket right away. It's a long, grueling, amazingly rewarding game. And you have to treat it like that.
Thank you so much. Taylor, thank you so much. I've really enjoyed my conversation and listening to the incredible advice you have given and your amazing thoughts on startups. Thank you again, and all the best.
Thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it. This was fantastic.
Thank you. Thank you for listening to The Brand Called You videocast and podcast, a platform that brings you knowledge, experience, and wisdom of hundreds of successful individuals from around the world. Do visit our website, www.tbcy.in, to watch and listen to the stories of many more individuals. You can also follow us on YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Just search for The Brand Called You.